I'm going to be quick with an introduction because you see this little thing they give you for chapel? Anybody see that? It says everything's broken down to like every 10 seconds. And we busted that by about 20 minutes already today. And that's what happens in Ichthus Chapel, fondly known among us as Blue Jean Chapel. Yeah, you got it. I'm the only one who makes it okay. At any rate, quick introduction of my friend Dave Spring. Dave and I met a year ago this week, as a matter of fact. Some movie industry friends of mine kept telling me about this guy that lives in Nashville, and then I mentioned the name to a couple of other people, I think to Carolyn Ridley, who's the alumni director, and she went, oh, well, he graduated from Asbury. And so he's now on the board of Ichthus, a kind of energetic creative, and we need a lot of that because we're really kind of old and stale, if you believe that. Dave graduated in 95, and from, of course, you were kind of a non-traditional.
Can I come up with you?
You bet.
Let's introduce.
Hey. You're losing your tail.
That's dude. Okay, yeah. Every once in a while, the horns come out, too.
Hey, nice.
Okay. Yeah, 95.
95.
Okay.
YWAM.
Before, I was in YWAM before coming to Asbury.
Christ Church.
5 years at Christ Church, big church in Nashville.
Youth pastor.
Yeah.
6 years as a church planter in New Zealand and Australia.
Down under.
You're still down under.
Yes.
4 years as a lead pastor.
I came back to the U.S. to met another church, a large church in Nashville, went to a multi-site model. And so the president of our organization actually came to Australia to see what we were doing. He liked it so much that he asked if we would come back to America, and he said, blow up the box. And I said, I can blow up the box, just don't come behind me and put it back together. So we started a church in downtown Nashville in a cafe. I resigned.
It's an inevitable. Christy, his wife, was in the Christian music industry, had 3 number ones back in the mid-90s.
In her genre.
Okay. All right. And
Bluegrass music for circus midgets.
And their spouses.
Yes.
And Here's the thing I want you to know. Night before last, I was in Nashville at his house, which is in a very interesting part of East Nashville. The yard they live in is called the neutral zone, basically, because if you're Crips or Bloods, you can't wear your flags in the yard. They do after-school ministry to inner-city kids in the house, and they also have a house church that they've started now. This is a guy who he's ministry ADD, apparently. So I want you to welcome Dave Spring to Asbury again.
Thank you so much. It is really good to be here. I wish I could take the time. Now, listen, they told me that this is kind of the line of feedback right here, this invisible line. I told them there's no way that I can stay on this stage. So you might get some feedback. I don't have time in the 22 minutes, actually now that is 17 minutes, to let you get to know me. Let me just say I'm a good guy. You would really like me if you got to know me. I'm funny, witty. That's what I'm told. I also realize that, I've spoken in front of thousands of people all over. We've done ministry in 23 nations, planted 7 churches on 2 continents. I love ministry. I told Jeff, I've always dreamed of coming back here. I hope they let me back sometime. Because this place really is special. And yet I realized, I was thinking in my head, I only remember 3 chapel services. Sorry to all the speakers that spoke while I was here. Carolyn, you were one of them. I remember after you spoke, I made a beeline. I was sitting over here in this area somewhere. I think it was like 4th row, kind of where you are in a gray hoodie. I think that was my seat. You, kind of a tannish hoodie. That's an anointed seat, bro. You could end up anywhere in the world after you graduate here. I, I made a beeline to Carolyn because what she spoke about, I think you were with talking about MFI, Media Fellowship International, and something in me just beat because my wife, I was married when I came here. My daughter in the back was actually born in Lexington. She's now almost 15 years old, and this is her first trip back to her homeland. My wife and I have always had a heart for the creatives. I think cultural creatives are some of the most misunderstood in our culture. We know in church world, we know how to minister to the intellectuals and we know how to minister to military and athletes because they take orders real well. But you deal with a creative and you tell them to get up at 6 a.m. for an hour Bible study before they start their day. They've only been in bed for about an hour. Right? Are you with me? Okay. So there's this whole class of misunderstood, don't know what to do with these crazy people. And that connected with me. Asbury was a real special time for me. I remember one time, okay, get ready, feedback. One time, my wife and I had been married for about probably 10 months. And if there are any newlyweds in here, like you've been married just under a year, raise your hands. Okay. You know, it's amazing to me what happens before you get married. It's just like, we're just in love. We just love one another. Man, you don't think about what you're going to eat, how you're going to live. You know, you're just in love and you never fight. Well, then you get married and everything changes. And the things that drew you to your spouse now drive you freaking nuts. And 10 months into marriage, because we were so mature and we had everything together, we got in a fight. We lived in 511 and a half West Main Street. So as you're, the half is the basement, okay? So when you go around the curve up here, when you're going up to the Lewis Center, that very last house, Mrs. Snow, I forget who lives there now. Your buddy, Jeff, your buddy. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's gone.
No. Where your buddy, the Ichthus office, he used to own that. Mark.
Oh, Mark Lewis.
Yeah, Mark Lewis lives there. Anyway. See, I've stayed in touch. We got in this huge fight. I mean, it was just deadly. And I went storming out of the house. And it was one of those things where I was mad enough that I probably thought I shouldn't drive. Okay, I'm just being honest. I don't know how to live but honest. And I came storming in. And for whatever reason, late at night, this chapel was unlocked. And I came down and I literally just laid on the floor in the altar. And I was fussing and cussing and just complaining to God. You didn't intend for me to marry this woman. I'm out of your will. And the peace of God just fell. And I said, okay, give me grace because I'm an idiot. I said that. Went home and she had drawn this little sign and it said, it was like, you walked up and it was like the nuclear radiation sign. I'm serious. My wife was brilliant. And she put an X through it and she said, peace lives here. And we stayed up till real late that night making amends and talking through. This place is really special. It's been fun to reconnect with Ichthus and be on the board and to just re-engage this community. So anyway, it's a little bit about me. Life has been amazing. We've dined, literally, my daughter has played with the Prince of Brunei in their summer palace in the Philippines. I met with the Governor General on a monthly basis of Australia. I just dated myself. I turned 40 this year. Just recently. And so things I'm realizing my lingo is so I say Rolodex, yeah, Rolodex, my iPhone. You can look at my contacts in my iPhone and it ranges from literally world leaders to musicians, to athletes, to my friend that's a homeless, gay, HIV positive guy. We've had the ability to do a lot of amazing things. She played with the Prince of Brunei in the summer palace. And at 6 months old, she was held underneath the bridge by a homeless woman that I don't know the last time that woman would have felt love or closeness. And tears began to run tracks through the dirt in her face. It's been an amazing life. And it's because of this God that we serve who loves us. And I know sitting in this room, if you grew up with it, it's easy to begin to take it for granted. It's easy to sit in these chairs week after week and it loses its meaning. We're in a bubble. Wilmore is a bubble. This is not reality. And I say that with respect. It is a wonderful place. But it's easy to get lost here. It's easy to lose Jesus right in the church. And it's about head knowledge instead of heart knowledge. And I believe that God, I know in my heart that God wants to grip some of us this morning and change us. Roll this clip for me. Turn that up. Turn it up.
You dare to come to me for a heart, do you? You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collisionist junk.
Yes, Your Honor. You see, a while back, we were walking down the yellow brick road, and...
Quiet! And you, scarecrow, have the effrontery to ask for a brain, you billowing bale of bovine fodder!
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, Your Excellency. Your wizardry.
Enough! And you, lion...
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, frightening him like that when he came to you for help.
Silence, whippersnapper! The beneficent Oz has every intention of granting your requests.
What's that? What'd he say?
But first, you must prove yourselves worthy by performing a very small task. Bring me the broomstick of the Witch of the West.
But if we do that, we'll have to kill her to get it.
Bring me her broomstick, and I'll grant your requests. Now go.
But what if she kills us first?
I said go!
My favorite movie of all time. Many of us approach God like that, though. Going before him, and the line that always grips me, and that is, you know, here they are, they're before the wizard. They've gone through this horrendous journey, right? They've gone through the wicked trees and the flying monkeys, and Scarecrow was torn apart. And so they've gone through trials. They've gone through scary places. They go through the field of poppies. The temptation is just to quit, to go to sleep. They've gone through all of this stuff, and they finally made it to the wizard to really ask for noble things. What's wrong with the brain, right? Hopefully we have a little bit of that. What's wrong with wanting a heart? What's wrong with wanting courage? So they stand before the wizard asking for good things, noble things, things that will make them better people. And all of a sudden they're confronted, Dorothy's confronted with the truth of her situation, that the witch is real, the wizard is a fake, and all she wants to do is go home. And we stand before God, or we kneel before God, or we sit in chapel before God many times, and we, as we're praying or we're praising, in our minds we hear him say, okay, if you really want answers, then you have to prove yourselves. I have one more small task for you. And many of us have adopted that view of God, and it is so not him. God, our Father, who loves us like a daddy, loves us, wants to spend time with us. I'm trying to break myself, but you know, you catch yourself, living in Australia really helped me, New Zealand and Australia both, kind of start breaking religious language out of my speech, because in New Zealand and Australia, less than 2% of people attend church. So there are some Christian lingo things that we say and we understand. Oh, you know, the blood of Jesus cover you, brother. It's like, what the heck does that mean? Singing that sounded like angels before the throne room. They don't have a clue. And I began to break down Christian lingo, ghetto talk, that only we understand. And we wonder why the world scratches their head or they're not interested. It's because they don't understand what we're saying. And many times I've prayed, oh, God, let your presence be here. And I catch myself and go, what in the world? When I opened my eyes, his presence was waiting for me. Just go, Dave, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're awake. Waiting for me to acknowledge him, waiting because this God longs to be in relationship with us. He's not looking for our religion. He's looking for our relationship. This same God who was waiting for us to open our eyes and begin dialogue with him hovered over us while we slept. His presence is with us all the time. He wants us sitting in this room. And here's ultimately what will make a difference in this nation. Our grand schemes and our grand strategies. And you know what? Even Ichthus, Asbury, it's not going to change the world. What will change the world is that as one by one, we catch an understanding of relationship with God. That now it's not weird when we talk to other people about this God. When I talk about my wife or my daughter or my 9-month-old, 10-month-old son, 15 and 10 months. My 10-month-old son brought me to my knees over the last 6 days. I got in the car last night. My wife was on the West Coast for 6 days, left me with my son and my daughter. And we decided this was the time to wean him. Yes. She landed from the West Coast at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. I jumped in a car at 7:30, rushed up here. I forgot blow dryer. I forgot a change of clothes. I'm walking out of the place this morning where I stayed. The heel of my boot catches, rips off. I mean, my 10-month-old son drove me to my knees. I absolutely forget where I was before I started talking about him. What I said something right before that. Relationship. He's longing for relationship with us. See, at my church, I assign somebody on the front row there to keep me. They have to keep notes so that if I go off tangent, they bring me back. He's longing for relationship, and it is relationship ultimately that will change. Because thank you. Because when I talk about my wife and my children, it's not strange. I can meet a stranger and talk about them and it's not weird because it's coming out of who I am and my love for them and it's just part of who I am. I am not whole without them. So my talking of them is natural. The same thing when we talk about our God, it should not seem weird or awkward or strange. It should just flow out of who we are naturally. If we're in relationship with him. Now, if it's all about religion, our language is going to be stinted and halting because it's weird. And you know how it is when you meet somebody and you're kind of interested in them, you know, it's like, and then, okay? Or guys, you're just scared to death. You got her digits, right? And you're like, you get to that last one and it's trying to push the call button, right? You're scared out of your head. It's weird. It's because it's not, it just does not natural yet. You'd be married for 17 years, things just get natural. Okay? And that's what this God who created the heavens and the earth wants relationship with us. He is not waiting to punish us. We are not a bunch of ex-sinners sitting in this room. I am not an ex-sinner pastor. I'm a repentant sinner pastor. And when we begin to get that, we realize that God poured his wrath out on Jesus on the cross, his wrath towards sin, because he's holy. He can't be in the presence of sin. So he poured his wrath out, and now there's an age of mercy, thank God. Judgment is coming, but it's not there yet. And we have an opportunity now to walk in relationship with God, and as we do that, we attract. It's like a sweet smell. If you've ever walked by a good bakery, man, in Melbourne, Australia, it's the second largest Greek city in the world. There's patisseries and Greek bakeries and Italian bakeries. And you're walking down the street and it's just like, cannelloni. You know, a sweet smell attracts you, right? Or am I just crazy? You walk into grandma's house. My grandmother was Italian. And I rarely do I ever have a childhood memory of not walking in smelling rigatoni or spaghetti or lasagna. And I'm telling you, it was just Nanny's kitchen. And it was a smell that attracted. I think the problem with us as Christians today is that we put out a stench of religion rather than the sweet smell of relationship. Relationship will draw. I've been studying the Trinity and how they interact with each other. And I'll be honest, at 40, I don't get it. I don't think I'll get it at 80. I'll get it though when I wake up with him and I see them interacting. They love one another. They interact relationally. They've set the example. I'm nowhere near my notes. And it's okay. I do want to read a scripture though, because that way they can't be mad at me for not reading the Bible and showing Wizard of Oz. Micah 6:8. So this journey that we're on, okay, much like our heroes in the Wizard of Oz are on a journey, the yellow brick road, it twists, it turns, it goes through dangerous points, it goes through fun, all in really a longing and a search to go home. It's much like our journey here. We don't belong here. We are aliens in a strange land. So this longing inside of us that we feel sometimes to go to a different place, it is God instilled because we don't belong here. And many of us are going, what's the road? How do we get there? Do we genuflect and say Hail Marys? Do we raise our hand if you come from charismatic background and dance? Because that makes you more holy. Do you pray like this? We try all these different things, trying to get into his presence, trying to go back home. Wondering, what is the magic formula to get in God's presence? The amazing thing is that there is no magic formula other than the death of his son. And even at that, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somehow we've sold the lie that you got to get your act together before you come to Jesus. And we've made it all about this one moment. When did you pray the prayer? That is so Greek and Western thinking. You go back into Hebrew studies and it is all about walking in community, in process. And along the way, revelation comes. We've got to have churches, we've got to have believers that reach a point that they're willing to walk in process with somebody who doesn't know Jesus and not get offended when they curse in front of us. I got pastor buddies go, ooh, I won't, if I'm at dinner and somebody at the table, you know, orders a beer or pulls out a glass, you know, orders a glass of wine, I'm leaving the table. That's smart. How in the world are we ever going to be salt and light if we're not around stuff that needs salt and light? I live in the ghetto now. And it's amazing. I am watching God bring two worlds, this creative, very hip. We've got musicians, the girl who gave me this. We've got a jewelry designer in our church who's designing jewelry for Nicole Kidman and Sheryl Crow. And for my 40th birthday, she gave me this and she said, God's given you the keys to the kingdom. So I wear it. Very rarely does it come off my neck now. God's given us this amazing group of screenwriters and musicians. And then I got gang members coming to the church. Now there's ironic. And trying to balance this, I didn't know if it could work. I still don't know if it can work. We're doing this. I've been in ministry 17 years. This is my seventh church plant. I don't know what I'm doing. This is new. Micah, 2,800 years ago, contemporary of Isaiah and Amos, wrote at an amazing time. It's over. We're done. I'm already over time. Verse 4, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal. I love saying Shittim in chapel. Sorry, Jeff. That you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Shall I come before him with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil, with brand new worship songs that are about the heart of worship, with just fill in your blank that we try to come before and please God, trying to grovel, oh God, just accept me in your presence. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does God? Here it is, boiled down in 30 seconds. All that for 30 seconds. To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. We've got the acting justly down pretty good. Oh, brother. Pray for me, I've struggled a little bit. Let me tell you something, Christian circles, I've been in the industry now, I worked in the music industry, you see everything. We've got to act down. Love mercy, we don't love mercy, we love judgment. Judgment makes us feel better. We'll judge another denomination, we'll judge a worship style, we'll judge a speaker, we'll judge a professor, we'll judge a fellow student, we'll judge our parents, we'll judge our siblings, we'll judge the homeless bum, we'll judge the corporate CEO who bilked billions of dollars. We got judging down pat. God said, love mercy. If we get that revelation, things will change. Walk humbly. We don't do that very well either. We walk very arrogantly. I'm way out of time. God, my words don't change lives. My words don't set captives free, but yours do. Anything that was just me in the flesh, please, God, just let it be forgotten. But that which is of you, let it remain. Lord, I pray your word, your seed would go into the lives and the hearts and the souls of men and women in this room. And Lord, that those that need chains broken, you would do it. Those that need deep healing, you would do it. That, Lord, those of us that need to repent of a religious spirit and a religious mindset, that we may walk in a relationship with you in a deeper way and love those around us and walk humbly, Lord, please let us catch that and do it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.